Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
What do you do when you're sitting across from the doctor and the report isn't good? What do you do when you look at your bank statement, you look at your bills, and the numbers just don't add up? What do you do when life hits you with the unexpected? When life hits you hard and catches you on your blind side? If there's one thing that you should know and expect, it's that the reality of life can sometimes be earth-shattering and harsh. And perhaps you may not be able to turn your situation around immediately. But I pray that my words today will plant seeds of faith in your spirit. Don't be discouraged by what you see. Don't be discouraged by what you hear. Your life is in God's hands. And that's something you should actually tell yourself every once in a while. My life is in God's hands. Your health may not be where you want it to be. But I encourage you to do all that you can and ask God to meet you halfway. Your dream may seem like it's no longer possible, but I encourage you to continue pursuing God. Whether or not you become a doctor, whether or not you become an attorney, a pilot, don't remove God from His throne in your life all because you're disappointed. God is bigger than that which comes against you. And if the fight intensifies, your own thoughts become negative, and they start telling you that this situation is permanent, this result is permanent, don't be discouraged. Even though it looks hopeless, the Word of God says, joy comes in the morning. To everything there is a season. So this too shall pass.
At one point in time, I was hurt. I carried a lot of pain. But the more I leaned on Jesus, the more I gave that pain to Him, the more I found Him to be a healer, one who can mend the innermost parts of a person. Maybe you're in a dry season and you find yourself on unstable ground. Well, saints, where we're limited, the Lord is limitless. Where we see challenges, the Lord sees opportunities. Opportunities for Him to demonstrate His love for you. Opportunities for Him to demonstrate His might and power to you.
Don't be moved by what you see in the natural eye, but rely on the Word of God that you know. The Word that says, God is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. Focus on that instead of what's disappointed you. The Word that says, you are my hiding place and my shield. It says, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Your life is in God's hands. Your future is in God's hands. If life hits you and you fall, wouldn't it be better to fall into the loving arms of Jesus Christ than anywhere else? So don't be defined by a diagnosis. Don't be defined by the numbers in your bank account. I've had to talk to myself and remind myself that I have a creator who has a plan. And God's plan will still prevail. God's will still be done. He has ordered my steps, and so I am not alone. My beginning and my end is known by Him. My highs and your lows are known by Him. And I will walk by faith and not by sight, believing that the Lord has numbered my good days to exceed my bad days. So get to the point where you are content and at peace to say, Lord, my life is in your hands. You have said, be anxious for nothing. You have said that you know the number of hairs on my head. And so I surrender and yield to your will.
Are we able to say God is good when a lifelong friend turns around to betray you? Are we able to say God is good when the business venture we've launched just doesn't seem to be working? I would like to submit to you that God's goodness is constant. He is good regardless of who's loyal to you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Or not. He's good regardless of whether that idea you had is making money or not. As children of God, we should be believing that God is good. We should still be saying God is good even when things are not so good for us. Our trials are temporary. Our difficulties don't last forever. The Bible tells us that we should be joyful in all circumstances. And not just that, but we should hold on to Jesus even more tightly when we are in distress. I would go as far as to say, the deeper you're in distress, the deeper your trust in Jesus Christ should be. The more fiery your problems seem to be, the more on fire for God you need to be. If it's painful, you should be prayerful. If it's agonizing, you should be even more prayerful. The rockier life seems to be, the steadier your faith in Jesus Christ should be. Now, of course, putting this in practice isn't easy. It requires maturity. It requires faith. And it most definitely requires the Holy Spirit. But once you've been through some things, once you've faced enough battles, then you don't just memorize certain scriptures. You begin to live them. You begin to so desperately hold on to them. And one of those scriptures is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. And listen to this. Here's what it says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. That means that if you are feeling crushed with disappointment, then you trust in the Lord with all your heart. If you thought this was the person God intended for you to marry, but they walked away from you, then continue to Lean not on your own understanding, but to trust in the Lord with all your heart. If you prepared, you studied, you met all the criteria required for that job, for that position, but they rejected you? Well, child of God, lean not on your own understanding. God will direct your paths. This is what all believers are called to do. So, no matter what comes, keep believing in Jesus Christ. No matter what comes, remain anchored in the one who rose from the dead. No matter what comes, do not, I repeat, do not give up. Hold on to Jesus, because when you are weak, He is strong. So use His strength. Use His might. No matter what comes your way.
Jesus Christ is on your side. When you feel tired and frustrated, cry out in prayer. Cry out in praise. There is only but one God who can give you rest. Only Jesus can lead you beside still waters. Only Jesus Christ can renew your strength. So don't be discouraged with what you're facing. Don't be disheartened at the events of today, nor should you be preoccupied and worry about what could come tomorrow. Instead, call unto Jesus Christ today, in this very moment. Whatever situation you face this day, God wants you to call on Him, because His word in Isaiah 65, verse 24, it says, "Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear." Psalm 50, verse 15 in the Bible says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." And so I want to encourage you. When you look at God's word, when you look at His promises, He says, "Trust me in your times of trouble, and I'll rescue you." He says, "Abide in me, and I will restore you." He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So let your hope be found in God. He has the perfect solution each and every time. So call on Him, whether it's day or night, whether you're in a season of darkness or light.
One of my favorite movies is Shawshank Redemption. And one of the main characters in the movie is Ellis Boyd Redding. He's known in the movie as Red. Red is one of the best smugglers in the prison and can get anyone just about anything they need inside the prison walls. One of the reasons Red is so good at smuggling is that he's been inside the prison for a very long time. When we first meet Red, he's up for parole after about 30 years of being in prison. He tells the parole board that he's been rehabilitated and wants to be set free from prison. Unfortunately, the board denies his parole. He would have done anything at the moment to get out of prison. 5 years later, he goes in front of the parole board, and they give him the same answer. Finally, after 40 years of being in the prison, they let Red out on parole. He received the freedom that he always wanted. However, after being out for a few weeks, he hates it. He is so familiar with living in the cell that he starts thinking about trying to find a way to return. He even thought about buying a gun to break his parole so he'd be sent back. He desired to go back to the very prison he hated. We often do the same thing as Christians. We are imprisoned to some sort of sin. God breaks those chains free. However, we eventually feel the desire of the prison calling for us, and we run back. 1 Peter 2, verse 20 to 21 speaks to this. It says, "For if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. for it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than, after knowing it, to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. Peter is talking about false teachers, specifically those who teach that you can live a life however you want after coming to Jesus, those who teach that there is no need for repentance. It is better for that person to never claim that they knew the Lord than to turn to God and then turn away. To be clear, this is not saying that any Christian who has been drawn back into sin they have already overcome by the power of the Spirit will not receive forgiveness. However, if you claim to know the Lord, then completely forsake Him and turn back to your old worldly sin, you are outside of the Lord's grace and mercy. You are a dog that has returned to his own vomit to eat. We need not only think of this on the level of sin such as drug addiction or re-entering a forbidden relationship. This happens on much smaller levels as well. Maybe God has broken you free from a food addiction or gossip. While you may say to yourself, "It's not a big deal if I gossip about my friend's bad habits one more time," it is actually a big deal. In that moment, you are forsaking the work that the Spirit has done in your heart. This could be a slippery slope that leads you to forsaking the Lord in other areas of your life. If not careful, you may end up forsaking the Lord altogether. We have a wonderful opportunity to live a life of freedom through Jesus Christ. While the temptation we face can give us a thrill and falsely make us feel alive, sin will put us in the very cell we already escaped from. But let me tell you this. The blood of Jesus has set you free from that sin. You are forgiven. You are set free. Do not return to the very sin that has destroyed your life in the past. Don't go back to anything you had to pray your way out of.
A theologian by the name of Martin Luther once said something remarkable. He said, "I have held many things in my hands, and I have lost them all. But whatever I have placed in God's hands, that I still possess." Think about what we're being told here. Everything that this man has held on to and put his hands on, everything that he's tried to fix and change, he's lost it all. He's been unsuccessful with, but he says, "Whatever I have placed in God's hands, that I still possess." In other words, he's saying, "I've had better success in life when I've left things in God's hands." And dear friends, that's what I want to encourage you to do today. Leave it in God's hands. That means pray about it. Stand on God's word concerning that issue or problem. Fast and believe God for it. But more importantly, leave it in the hands of the Master. And let me tell you this. When you take things into your hands, you are being disobedient to God. Because the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." The Amplified translation for 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, "Casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, and all your concerns once and for all on Him, for He cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully." Furthermore, Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." This is telling you that if you have something you're worried about, pray about it. Make your requests known to God and leave it in His hands. If there is something that's making you anxious, the Bible tells you to cast all your cares on Jesus Christ. Is there an issue with your children? Is there a private sin you're wrestling with? Whatever it is, remember that we are not to worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Only then can you and I experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus.
I want to tell you something. If you've ever prayed for God to take you out of a certain situation, don't go back to it. If you've prayed for God to remove you from a toxic situation or an unstable environment, don't go back to it. If there is anything you've asked God to save you from, and He does, don't go back to that very thing that once held you in bondage. Don't go back to anything you had to pray your way out of. And for those who've prayed for deliverance or freedom, once you have been delivered, once you've been set free, draw a line there and refuse to go backwards. Refuse to look back. Let's say you were in a sinful relationship. You then prayed and prayed for the strength to make it out of that relationship. It was hard because you truly loved the person, but you knew it was not a relationship the Lord would want you to be in. Eventually, by the power of the Spirit, you have enough strength to leave the relationship. You are free from that relationship for a few months, and life is going great. However, you start to feel the desire to re-enter a relationship with that person. God is calling you to flee. Why return to the same thing you prayed for God to deliver you from? While that desire may feel good for a little while, in the end, it will lead to destruction. You are flirting with bondage. By giving in to that evil desire, it makes it easier for you to give in to more evil desires in the future. Eventually, in the end, you may completely decide to walk away from the Lord. And according to Peter, it would have been better for you never to have known the Lord than to know Him and then choose to turn away from God after following Him. When you reject God after trying a relationship with Him, in a sense, you are saying you have tasted and seen He is not good.
Philippians 1, verse 6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." The Amplified Version says, "I am convinced and confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will continue to perfect and complete it until the day of Christ Jesus, the time of His return." Take a moment and consider, what does the Bible mean when it says this very thing? What is this very thing? Why should we be confident of it? Why is this very thing so important that it's associated with the beginning of a good work that will be completed until the day of Jesus? Saints, I believe that when the Bible talks about this very thing, it's talking about your salvation. And the reason I believe this is because when you are saved and when you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, you don't automatically become detached from your flesh. You don't automatically become this perfect person who never gets angry or upset. That's not the case. You need to work on your salvation by seeking more of Jesus Christ, by meditating on His Word, by pursuing a closer relationship with Him, by yielding to the Holy Spirit.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for,
the evidence of things not seen. Faith is believing in the promises of God. Faith is believing what your natural eyes can't see. Let me put it this way. Faith says, I don't have to physically see the blood of Jesus for me to believe that I'm protected. Faith says, I don't have to physically see angels for me to believe the word of God that tells me that the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. Faith says, I don't even have to see the Holy Spirit for me to believe that he has power and he is a comforter and a teacher. You see, faith is a requirement for every believer. It is the core of our Christian living. It's by faith that we come to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It is also by faith that we live our lives with joy and gladness, knowing that there is eternity to be spent with the Father above. And perhaps one of the most prominent verses in the Bible about faith is Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Are you standing in faith? Are you living by faith? Are you walking by faith? Faith is a life of action based on what you believe to be true. For example, the action of not worrying. That is a result of you having the faith that God is in control. The action of not trying to fix everything. That too is a result of you having the faith that God is in control. Jesus Christ said, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Why did he say this? Because he wants you to have faith that he will take care of all your needs. Another way to understand or define faith can be summed up in the following way. Faith is doing your part, which is trusting God to do his part. Your part is to believe. That's all you need to do, and then you leave God to do his part. Your part is to stand on God's word. His word that says nothing is impossible with God. So let me ask you, are you doing your part? Are you believing? Are you believing and standing on God's word? Are you walking by faith and not by sight? Strong faith comes from knowing and believing that Jesus Christ not only rose from the dead, but he defeated the devil. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. Strong faith comes from meditating on God's word. Strong faith is cultivated and developed when you not only read the word of God, but you internalize it. You ponder on it and dwell on it. I would even go so far as saying strong faith comes as a product of great trials. Circumstances change, people change, social norms and public perceptions change, but the word of God remains true forever. In the book of Matthew, Jesus says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." That's why we can stand confidently in him. That's why we can cling to him. When we feel like we're slipping away into the chaos of life, he will rescue us and place our feet back on solid ground. What does it mean to be unshakable in your faith? It doesn't mean never having doubts. It doesn't mean never being afraid. It simply means that when trouble comes our way, we don't panic. We don't lose hope. We don't turn to the world or to ourselves for answers. Instead, we are able to rest in the promises of God. The thing about Daniel and Paul and Moses was that they understood the stakes. They understood that even if nothing went their way, even if they ended up suffering deeply, it would be worth it, because knowing Jesus was so valuable, so precious to them. Can the same be said for you? Do you treasure Jesus above your own life? He is worthy, and he wants you to experience abundant life by trusting him and obeying his word. So when trouble comes your way, stand firm. Be unswayable, be immovable, be unshakable.
A lot of people today suffer from a sense of inadequacy. They suffer from a sense of not being good enough. It's unfortunate that even God-fearing Christians wrestle with issues of self-worth. Their minds are locked in cages of insecurities. And I wonder, have you ever asked yourself the question, am I good enough? For the younger ladies, have you ever asked the question, am I pretty enough? Have you ever been intimidated to the point that you asked the question, am I smart enough? These are all questions of self-doubt and low self-esteem. These are all questions underlined with insecurity issues. And nearly everyone I know has had to contend and wrestle with questions like these at some point in their lives. But I want to encourage you, do not be broken by the words of people. Don't allow yourself to be defined by what people say. As a matter of fact, you should only ever define yourself by God's word. You should only ever find yourself in God's word. You should only be able to identify yourself by what God's word says about you. People's expectations, people's opinions should not have any impact on who God created you to be. God says you are His child. God says you have been forgiven. God says He has a plan for your life, a plan to give you a hope and a future. God says you are His masterpiece. God says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. God says you have been redeemed. He says you are beautiful. The Lord has called you to come out from among them, to be in the world but not of the world. You have been called the head and not the tail. And that's how you should identify yourself. You see, I need you to know that your worth is in the Lord. Your worth is not and cannot ever be defined by what others say. Your worth is defined by what God says about you. There will come a time when the devil will keep reminding you of your weaknesses. There will come a time when the devil will whisper, "Don't do that. You're fragile in that area." The devil will come and sow seeds of discouragement. He'll try and point out what you're not good at. He'll try and point out where you've fallen short in the past. But the devil is a liar. The Bible calls him the father of lies and the accuser of the brethren. Saints of God, you need to know, you need to remind yourself constantly that the Word of God says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You need to remind yourself that you were formed, you were designed, you were made by a God who doesn't make mistakes. God made no errors when He created you. There were no miscalculations or oversights when the Creator of the universe breathed life into your body. So I encourage you to be the type of person who is humble yet confident in the Lord. Be filled with humility and still remain bold and assured in who you are. You may not be 6 foot and playing in the NBA, but be grateful that God has equipped you with all that you need. You may still be single, asking the question, "Why am I not married?" But be grateful that in Jesus, you are still loved. You are made whole and you are complete. So when you find yourself being attacked by thoughts of inadequacy, start to encourage yourself with the Word of God. Start to give God the praise for the very thing you lack. I may not be earning 6 figures, but I praise God that He is my provider. I may not have all the fame in the world, but I praise God because He knows my name. He knows who I am, and that's all that matters. I may have made some mistakes in the past, but I give praise to the Lord that He has made all of my crooked ways straight. He has blessed me and taught me through all the mistakes I've made. I may be weak in this area. I may be struggling when it comes to this area. But I give praise to the Lord who enables me to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Learn to praise God, saints. In your weakness, remember to praise the Lord. In your moment of strength, in your moment of victory, remember to praise God. Praise Him at every turn and at every corner.
As you mature in Christ, as you grow and develop in your knowledge of God, the Holy Spirit will work within you to broaden your horizons and shift your perspective. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21 says, "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. The Smith's Bible Commentary says the following regarding 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. God will set you apart. God will anoint you, and you will be fit for the master's use. Then God will begin to use you. And that really is what it's all about, isn't it? To be used of God to touch some life. To be used of God to share His love. To be used of God as an instrument. That's what life is all about. God begins to prepare you through the Word, through prayer, through your experiences. They're all a part of God's necessary preparation. Paul wrote to the Ephesians and said, "You are His workmanship." God has already foreordained that service that He wants you to accomplish for His glory, but He has to, first of all, work in you, preparing you. So the experiences that I go through, the hardships, the difficulties, the testings, the trials, the sorrows, they're all a part of God's necessary preparation. As He is seeking to prepare the vessel to be used by the Master, as He empties me of myself, that He might fill me with His fullness, that I no longer live for my own glory, but I live now for His glory, that I serve Him in such a way that it brings glory to Him. This is why the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that when they see your good works, they glorify your Father which is in heaven." As you experience the love of Jesus Christ, as you experience a deep and rewarding relationship, perspective. What is your perspective as a believer in Christ? I ask this question because at some point in your walk with the Lord, as you know Him more and more, you have to shift your perspective from, "God, take me here, take me over there," to, "Lord, I thank You for how far You've brought me. I thank You because I am no longer where I used to be." Perspective. Your perspective goes from always asking and always seeking to receive from God. And it shifts to you, always seeking to serve Him. Your prayer becomes, "Lord, how can I serve You? Lord, make me a vessel for Your use." We can never repay the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us on the cross. We could never find the appropriate words to fully express how thankful we are for His amazing grace, for His everlasting mercy and providence. Now, it is my belief that all we can offer to the Lord as a sign of gratitude is our lives. All we can offer Jesus Christ is ourselves. We cannot repay Him. We cannot compensate the Lord or do anything to equal His sacrifice. But I tell you, the least we can do is serve Him. The least we can do is to become a servant of the Lord.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.